Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 94 of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. My name is Mark Stevenson from Coldesi.
And I'm Mark Vila with Coleman & Company, and today we're here to talk about planning your first successful marketing campaign.
And I think it all starts with quality promotional products. Yes. Like the one that I'm drinking from. Yeah. Now.
Well, I one-upped you.
I
made a mug.
You've got an actual CAS mug. That's the hierarchy here, is I have to write on a red Solo cup with a dry erase marker. And Mark Vila knows how to use the equipment.
This mug is sponsored by Digital Heat Effects.
Nice.
So
go
to digitalheateffects.com and you can see how the mug was made.
Yes.
Along with tons of other
things. And our shirts.
Yeah, the shirts we're wearing are sponsored by Digital Heat Effects as well.
Yeah, that's
so
good.
Thank you to Digital Heat Effects again for sponsoring the show.
I love that.
Now, I named this episode, we named it Planning Your First Marketing Campaign.
Right.
And then I changed it at the last minute to Planning Your First Successful Marketing Campaign, because I want you to listen to this episode if you've done a marketing campaign before and now you no longer do them.
Yes, because odds are you were not successful.
Yeah, and also if you're running marketing campaigns right now and you're feel like you're doing okay, maybe you publish a couple little ads somewhere, or you feel like you spent a bunch of money, it's not going anywhere, maybe this is a great revisit.
You know what I would love to hear from
So
we talk to people all the time that do different things, and I guess what I'd like you to do is differentiate between, I just boosted a Facebook post about my business.
Sure.
Versus a successful marketing campaign. So just like, what are the differences between doing a thing and doing a campaign?
Yeah, so, trick questions coming
through. Yeah, I'm just...
I would say that when you just throw some money at something, you're betting a little bit on luck.
Okay.
You're betting a little bit on luck. You happen to be in the right place at the right time. You happen to be delivering the right message if it works.
Right.
I've done stuff like that in the past where I've just said, gosh, I like this post, and I throw $20 on it on Facebook, and all of a sudden, like 100 comments. Cool. I've also done it and gotten less comments, likes, reactions, interaction than I had with a free one.
Right.
So
it's not really the amount of money. Is it the amount of things involved? Like, do I have to have more than one ad for it to be a campaign?
Well, it's the effort. It's the thought behind it, I would say.
Okay.
So it's the thought and a plan behind it. And that's the purpose of this.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's the plan.
Yeah, it's the plan. It's the intent
right from
the beginning to do it.
Yeah, that's like, and I know we're doing a lot before we actually get started.
Sure.
But I did a talk last night on being successful in Facebook advertising.
Okay. All right.
And the point that I made during that was, the last thing you do if you want to be successful running a great Facebook ad campaign, the last thing that you do is open up Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because all of the planning and stuff takes place in advance. Because once you're in Facebook, you know what you're going to do.
You're executing.
I love this picture.
Yeah.
Here's some text. Here's a picture. Where's it going to go? To my webpage. I don't care where. And then you're done.
Yeah.
When you start off, you've got to map it out.
Yeah. So it's like a bit of, like, if you're at a concert, the last thing you do is walk on the stage to perform.
Yes.
You're in your studio. You're doing it all behind the scenes, getting everything ready to go, and then you step up on stage for the show. And that's what going to Facebook Ads Manager is you're getting up for the show.
Or you walk into a biker bar.
Yeah. And then. Well, because
there's
this lady you've been
eyeing. Stop it.
And
stop it.
All right, so let's go ahead and we talked about what this is going to be about. So step one, stage one, is the beginning, kind of just the making of the plan.
Right.
That's the first step. And I'll talk about the first thing, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, sounds good.
So define your brand, Okay, so what do we mean by this? What's the personality of your business? What does your business mean? If your business was a person, how might you describe this business?
That's a good way to look at it. Mm-hmm. So I really like this because, I mean, first of all, if you're in business, you already have a brand.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about your logo necessarily.
No.
You know, we're talking about who you are and your business's approach to the marketplace. You got some great examples in here.
Yeah, we use words. Like one exercise that you'll often do when you're getting your logo created, for example, or your website created, an artist might come to you and say, use three words to describe your brand, because your brand is not a tangible thing. Your brand is like a personality.
Right.
You have to describe a personality compared to how you look. You know, so you could say dark hair and dark eyes, that's different than energetic and bubbly.
Yes.
So some example words we have here, and if you go to the YouTube and you watch this, you'll see all the full list of words that can use.
Yeah, we'll put them
there. But professional, funny, active, intense, lush, inspiring, religious, timeless, contemporary, glamorous, graceful, retro, rustic. So those are a bunch
athletic.
Of other words.
I mean, you know what your image is. So like if you are, you know, if you go to yoga five times a day and you sell yoga wear, then guess what your brand is?
Yeah.
The personality is things having to do with yoga.
Yeah, it could be, words you might describe it would be healthy, youthful, athletic.
Stretchy.
Yeah, stretchy. that's not on my list.
Okay.
But so that's the first thing you do is you pick your three words so you know what your brand is.
Yeah, and the idea there is that once you have these words surrounding your brand, it makes it really clear kind of what happens next. And it helps you stay on track.
Yes.
And helps you stay on track through the whole process.
It makes sure that the words you're using in whatever marketing campaign, whether you know, and this is true for everything. It doesn't matter if it's a radio commercial, a Facebook ad, a flyer, a brochure, phone calls you're making, door-to-door knocking.
Yeah.
All of it has to surround what is the image you're going to portray out while you're doing that. So you've got basically a definition of your brand, and you can make it into a sentence or you could do just a few words.
Yeah.
Next is having a plan and a strategy. So the strategy is what's the goal? What is the goal
start with
of
the
this
goal.
Marketing?
Right.
So start with the goal.
So why are you engaging this campaign?
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah.
And you could just say, because I want to sell more stuff. But that's not really, you have to have something specific in mind.
Yeah.
So maybe your goal is, you've got some good ones here, you know, maybe you want to sell something specific, like you've got a new warm-up jacket for yoga. You know, maybe that's a specific item you want to make sure people are aware of. Maybe you've got an event coming up, like you are, and we'll just go with the yoga theme.
Yeah, all
like
right.
You're participating in a yoga conference. And you've got a vendor booth where you're going to sell your yoga. Well, you want to let people know, so you want to campaign behind that. So there's some really good audiences here, you know, some really good goals. You know, it could be that you're trying to land new corporate customers. It could be that you're trying to land a specific type of business. You're trying to sell a specific thing.
Yeah, expanding to a new area, new territory.
Yeah, I mean, whatever it is, you've got to kind of envision the thank you page involved in that campaign. Like, thank you for what? I want to say thank you for buying my doodad, for giving me cash, for signing up for my list, for coming to my event, something.
Yes, and so everything with this, it really why we're all doing this is you want to make more money, right?
Yes.
You want to improve your business, but you're trying to think of what's the goal of this specific type of campaign of this that we're going to be running. Some things we listed here: brand awareness. So brand awareness could be one where it's not necessarily that you're looking to make the phone ring and take a call right there, but you want to make sure that your brand is really well known out there amongst the people you're talking with. So if we are doing something, if like there's plenty of these adult sports leagues out there, you know, I see them all the time.
Kickball, whatever.
Yeah, kickball and hockey and all that stuff. So I saw something at the ice rink. And it was the logo and a little tagline of the company who did all the custom stuff to all of the players the okay. league player stuff. So all if right. you wanted to get like your name on the helmet, like a sticker, yep. if you wanted to get, I think they sold the uniforms too as well, and the names, everything. And it was really just them right by the door before you walked in.
Yep.
And that sign that they paid to do is a brand awareness. They want everyone going in and coming out of the game to recognize that brand and associate them with right. the uniforms.
Right.
It's not a direct sale, but yeah. when they go into the shop or they see a table set up, oh, that's the company right there.
Right. So basically you're softening them up. Now, you know, you and I go back and forth on things like logos and branding.
Sure.
So the one thing I would suggest is that if this is your first campaign or your second campaign, unless you have a war chest of investment cash and long-term marketing yep. plans, I would not do specific branding campaigns until you're an established business. Like, because for me, that's a little bit of, let me get to the point where I'm making money.
Yeah.
And I'm on my own, and then I'll try to take
that
next step.
The brand awareness is a very long-term campaign.
Yeah.
So if you are going to pay $200 to have your sign up at the hockey rink,
yes.
that's fine. And you sign a year contract, $1,200 a year. Just know that $1,200 you might not make it back specifically,
right.
and you'll never know if you did.
Right. Now, the time that I would say that brand awareness is key is if you are doing a longer term strategy on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, where the first ad that you show somebody is just about you and your brand.
Yeah.
So you can send them another ad right after that so they'll recognize your product, your brand, so they trust you a little bit by the time you get to the second.
Yeah, oh, I've seen them before, yeah. you know, and we do that all the time.
We do.
When we buy stuff, you're faced with two choices. They're the same price. The products look similar. I know that one, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy it just because I know it.
Yep.
So another one, campaign strategy or goal, I should say, is to sell a particular item.
Yeah.
So this would be if you designed a new shirt and you've got an audience, you've got people out there to try to sell to, you design the shirt, you want to sell that to them.
Right.
One specific item or a series of items that it's specific. So you do handbags and you monogram them, you are marketing specifically to sell this handbag with a monogram on it.
Yes.
We've got driving people to your event, as you mentioned. Get people to buy from your website. You've got a website where you sell a whole bunch of different t-shirt designs. You get people to the website, and you are getting that. When they get there, you expect a percentage of them to walk away having bought a shirt.
Yeah, so the only thing I would suggest there is that you're at least somewhat specific.
Yes.
So in other words, like if you're in the yoga business or the wedding business, that you make your message clear that those are the shirts that you're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
In the advertisement, or you can even be more so, like let's say you're into the adult sports leagues, that, you know, if you do an ad for your website, come buy kickball shirts, and then send them to a page full of that.
Yes, full of kickball shirts.
Like we hardly ever send somebody just to ColemanandCompany.com in general.
Yeah.
We send them to the embroidery page or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So you do the same thing. Let's see, next one. Then there's some other questions here, kind of that have to do with the goal.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit of dealing with your brand too. But what kind of customers do you want to bring in? Should be a question you're asking.
Yes.
And that's, you know, are you doing corporate wear? Are you doing impulse buys? Are you trying to get a full team? Or are you trying to get the entire rink to buy from you? Is a different campaign than I'm trying to get one mom to buy a fan shirt.
Yes.
Okay. And then with that comes, what's your audience? So that's a similar question. You know, who is it? Is it owners of companies? Is it parents? Is it students? Is it players? Who is it? Think about what your audience is. So yeah. Next, what's next in line? What do you got?
So I like this. What you have is, what is the number of customers and the revenue you want to gain? What I'm going to turn that into is, what is your specific goal and how will you measure it?
Okay, how will you measure the goal?
So unless you're in the pure branding space, you really want to be able to associate, in my opinion, the cost of creating and executing a marketing plan with specific results as much as possible.
Yeah, I agree.
So we'll never do a Google ad, for example, that I can't track to, you know, this is how many sales it got me.
Yeah.
Because that goal is going to inform everything else that you do.
And we're always going deeper into that, too.
Yeah.
So one thing that we talked about over email a little bit the past couple of days is we have some ads that we run on Google and people come to see our product. Some people will just buy the product right there. And we know that, you know, they come from the ad, they're buying the product. We can see that. Mm-hmm. Other folks engage with us in chat. And then they chat for a while. They maybe end up on a phone call. They go back. They come. We never know that the ad actually engaged in that conversation and turned into it.
Right.
So we're trying to track that a little bit. So these are complex things you don't have to worry about when you're starting your first campaign.
Yeah.
But it just shows that everything that you want to do, you want to be able to associate this campaign with some money.
Yeah, really. I've got a new... My goal is to sell this new yoga jacket.
Yeah. How many of them do you want to sell?
I bought an initial order of 24. I'd like to sell out of those.
Okay.
So I've got 24 yoga jackets. I have this much money to invest. And I'm going to know, because maybe it's that this is the only time I'm going to talk about these jackets is during that campaign.
Okay.
Which means that everyone that buys one is a result of your advertising campaign.
So it's like a $50 jacket, $1,200 might be what this is worth
yes.
to you, and you're going to double your money. So $600 is the amount of profit you're going to make
yep.
on this order, and maybe you're doing a little $50 sponsorship in their newsletter that's going out to everybody.
Right.
So in this campaign, it costs you $50. You're hoping to get $1,200 in revenue.
Yes.
$600 is profit. So $550 is how much you're going to made from this little ad.
Yep.
And if it works,
you're going to do it again.
Yes. So
you're going to spend twice as much.
So let's go into that. I think that'll dive right into where do you want to deliver your message?
Yeah. And of course, this is, I like this approach rather than saying, I want to do a Google campaign. I want to do a Facebook campaign. Mm. What do I do?
Yeah.
Because you're starting with what you want to accomplish. Because different methods of marketing and advertising campaigns, different the choice that you make, you know, it has to fit the goal that you want to accomplish.
Yeah.
Like when I was talking, I was thinking about Facebook ads.
Yeah.
And you said the newsletter.
Yeah.
And that's just a much better idea.
Well, because I think that you're going to spend more in Facebook getting the ad to work because
right.
Facebook takes some time
yeah,
to learn
no, you're
that
absolutely
you're out of
right.
your profit range.
You're absolutely
and,
so like
yeah.
how you deliver your message, that's why it's the second thing.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, you're gonna set your goal, you're gonna pick your item, you know, branding, whatever you want to do. You're gonna figure out how much money you have to spend. You're gonna make sure that you know how to track the results, or mm. you are making a conscious decision that you won't do it unless you can track the results.
Mm.
And then now you're gonna look at, what's my menu of ways that I can accomplish that?
Sure. So if you would have said you had 200 jackets,
yes,
Facebook might be the way to go. Because that one studio, how big is this studio?
Yeah.
you know,
yeah,
like
good point.
They probably have less than 100 customers.
Could be.
So,
I mean, my customer is the United Yoga Front of America. Yeah,
oh, well, so then that's tens of thousands.
The Militant Yoga Crowd.
is that really a thing?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I like it then.
It is now. okay, so where do you want to deliver your message? Or let's change that and let's say, what's the best place for
yeah.
you to deliver your message? And of course, like if you're not already into or not comfortable with one of these platforms, you have a choice to go get comfortable, pick a new product, or kind of force that square peg into a round hole.
Yeah, and that's not the way to go.
Right.
Yeah.
So you know, we've got the options that we'll put on the in the show notes as well. But you know, we're talking about Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. Google search,
mm-hmm.
personal favorite. Print.
Yeah,
describe one print. Talk about some more print opportunities.
So print opportunities can be they're typically niche. Niche in one of two ways, I would say. Either to a very specific group of people
right.
or to a very specific location.
So you're not talking about Yellow Page ads?
Yeah, no. You don't want to do anything like that. A newspaper ad, I mean, maybe if it's like 70-year-old men, you know, drinking coffee, maybe the newspaper ad might be the way to go. But
yeah.
really, it's...
thank God I'm not drinking coffee today.
It's that local... like a newsletter that gets passed out at the yoga studio.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
they're doing
everybody
an event.
Everybody picks it up.
Everyone picks it up, or they're passing it out to everybody. And you know that all 100 people that go there over the course of the week are going to get handed this piece of paper, and there's going to be a little thing, get your jacket,
yeah.
you know, type of thing. That's a great little print.
Or maybe like if the Parent Teacher Association does an informational flyer or something for that all the parents
yes,
need.
Yes, it gets stuffed in every backpack. Yeah. That's a great place to do it. It could also be, there's lots of weird little things too. I mean, there's the restaurant, real popular restaurant up by me, they do the menu thing. So everyone sees it. And some of these are relevant. The one is free AC check.
Okay.
So people are sitting there, their AC is not cold when they left the house. It's why they're going out for breakfast, and they see it.
Do they have a gastroenterologist listed? Because
probably.
That's how I would advertise.
Those are some print. It could also be trade publications. Yep. So if you deal with martial arts apparel, there are martial arts magazines and trade
they're
associations.
They're all terrible, by the way.
Well, the thing is, but people get them. And they also now associate it usually with an email campaign and an online advertisement as well and a Facebook post. So usually a lot of print, like larger print, comes
with... It's a package deal.
It comes with other stuff. So, and then the print does overlay into local advertising. If you get the opportunity to make a TV commercial where you get to yell a lot... I think you should do it.
Right. If you can get the guy that owns the small car lot that's doing a bad commercial at 2 a.m. to wear one of your shirts, I think that's a win.
Yeah, and say. And
or
say
to wear your yoga jacket.
Yeah.
That would
that
even be a bigger win.
That could actually, if like there's that Kia dealer up here. There, everyone knows who they are. I don't even listen to the radio,
Marlene.
I still
know.
Because they're everywhere. But if you can get a guy like that, hey, I'll uniform your whole staff if you say my company name on your commercial.
Right.
That might not be bad.
There you go. Okay, so the next thing I really kind of keyed in on is you said organic search.
Yeah.
So this is a very long tail smart campaign.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what that is that means that you don't have you wouldn't do that with anything that you're testing.
Yes.
Or that's brand new. This is a long-term strategy to build your brand, to sell one of your core products, mm-hmm. or to invite or to get exposure on a regular event.
Yeah, like if you do one thing I remember we talked about last episode you liked a lot was there's like that My Little Pony fandom.
Out there.
And if you sell this,
I woke up in the middle of the night and I said, Brony!
Yeah, Brony. If you sell to the Brony crowd, and I remember that it was Pegasister is the woman version. And but if you sell to this crowd and you make this type of apparel, this is a long-term thing probably for you because these are and this could be for anything, right? But dedicated fans, you have good designs and you sell them online. An organic campaign for you would be to make sure that if somebody searches, you know, My Little Pony fandom t-shirts, something like that, that you're right at the top of that organic search because you've got products online, articles you've written, videos, and then now for years to come.
I'm looking for a classy way to make a registered sex offender joke. Can you talk about that? There's no way to do it, so I'm not going to. But that is a good example because that's a very niche market.
Mm-hmm.
It could have legs. It could be a long-term thing because My Little Pony's been on forever.
Yeah.
Right? So what you could do... Some things that you might do for an organic campaign is you could map out once a month, I'm going to do a video about my My Little Pony apparel and do a good description, and I'm going to write an article about it. I'm just going to do maybe I'll profile a customer or I'll do a feature on how I do it. And so when someone's searching for that, they'll find the article, they'll find my video, and then they'll come to my website and buy my stuff.
And it typically will last. Once it gets established,
it lasts
a long time.
Yeah.
So this is a campaign where it's harder to say, I want to sell 100 shirts by this organic search.
Yeah,
it's
won't.
A little closer to the branding where you say, I want to sell 100 shirts a month. Come in a year from now, based on, and this is, you got to do research on this stuff. You have to know how many people are searching online. If this is your first campaign, you could definitely jump into that, but I always try to say, get a small success first, you know? Next one, I put, bulletin boards, newsletter hands out. It's a little bit of the print type of a thing, but that's very local. And that type of stuff works in this type of an industry. If you sell to parents of sports, high school sports and stuff like that, and you have the football game, if you get permission to put a flyer under every car, and you have the permission to do that, you're going to do that, and it's going to say they're going to come out of the game, their kid just won, they open it up, you know, and it's like buy a hat. Why aren't you wearing a hat? to the game to support your kid, you know, and get them on sale normally $24.99 for $19.99 if you call tomorrow.
Good
And stuff like that will get you that little local business, and it's good for branding and all that. And the last one he wrote here was outbound sales or knocking on doors. I think I kind of cross this, it's sales, but I cross this one over into a little bit of a marketing campaign too.
So tell me why.
Because sometimes the outbound sales, and we've talked about this before, that you know that when you walk in the first time cold into a business with your business card and a sample or something like that, and you say, I make shirts, I would love to make some for you.
Right.
Please do that. And it's usually not, yes,
right.
20 right now.
Yeah, okay. You know? I buy that.
You know, so
that.
It's like in person handing, say, I want you to keep me in mind for next time, I'll follow up with you. And then, so it's a little bit of branding, it's a little bit of advertising.
That. I'll take it.
I like that. I think that's another method. And we know that it works for our industry.
Especially since most people are terrified to do that. So
you're going to be the only one. Okay, so what's next?
So next you've got what will the message be, mm-hmm. and that's almost like what's your lead magnet, what's your offer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what makes the difference between kind of a branding campaign, I would say, and a standard marketing campaign is the offer.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to get people to do something immediately or reasonably soon. So in the example you just gave, just kind of naturally, which is great. You know, you put the flyer on somebody's windshield, okay, you're going to get a good deal if you call tomorrow.
Yeah.
So the message was, you know, or the, you know, the strategy was, I'm going to put these flyers on because I want to sell this item. I want to sell it to these people. And this is how I'm going to do it. You know, so the flyer is how you're going to do it. What's going to make them to pull that trigger is going to be that offer. You're going to get $5 off, or you're going to get a free widget, or you're going to get free training or free shipping or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the message, you know, that when I think of message in this context, I'm thinking of offer.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And again, this, the reason, I guess why I thought of message is if you're doing like a brand awareness or you're doing an organic search, you know, you might not necessarily have a specific offer, but you need to be thinking this through. That's why I think this is a third one. By the time you get here, you're determining, is the message just so people know who I am? Is the message an actual offer?
Trying to sell something.
I want to get one free, trying to sell something. Some messages we put were on the coupon or the promo, $5 off the hat, you know, buy two shirts, get a hat for free type of a thing. The message is just letting your people know your business exists.
Right.
So that flyer might be, all the shirts and uniforms you saw in there were provided by, you know, here's the company. That's one part of it. I'd still, if you're going there, you still got to put something tangible.
That's a pure branding.
Yeah, and I still think you put something tangible if you're doing like a local type of a thing like that. You say, if you want some, come here.
Come in
you
and know. Mention the team's name.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah, and get a free gift with your purchase, whatever it might be.
Oh, yeah, I forgot most of them can't see me move my hands. About 30% of our conversation since between us, Mark Veal and I make up an entire Italian.
Yes, but yeah. That's,
because we're two halves. That, you know, a lot of the conversation happens with our hands.
I put a message could be offering a free consultation. This is a business one or a sports one.
Yeah.
You say, listen, what I'll do for you is I'm going to bring shirts out. I'm going to show all your staff, get your opinion, let everyone try things on. And if you guys like it and you think I can offer you, you know, new uniforms or whatever it might be, then you say yes. But for now, I just want to be able to come out and meet you guys.
Man, this is just such a great idea because it gives you that... You know, you're now differentiating yourself from the competition.
Mm-hmm.
You are positioning yourself as an expert.
Yep. Yeah, that's
so
great about it.
So it might be, you know, especially if it's sports, do you know about the new materials that they've come out with for sports jerseys? Listen, I just got three new things in. I'd love to come out.
Yeah.
You know, and show them to you. You guys can test them. You know, we can talk about what the differences are and see if you want to make that your next order. You're no longer the t-shirt person. you're the one that knows about their uniforms.
Yeah, the apparel.
You know, it's great.
Yeah, exactly. I think the free consultation works for sports, businesses, restaurants, anywhere that's got uniforms. You know, you go to a restaurant and say, there are stains everywhere here.
Yes.
I'd love to give you a consultation and tell you how you can stop that from happening.
It's disgusting. you could
just
say that.
Everyone has all black shirts.
Yeah.
And then advertise specific designs or the styles might be. So if you're doing, if you're making brony t-shirts and you've got this one style right here, you have this Rainbow Dash t-shirt.
Yeah.
And
your mom lets you out of the basement to do something.
You're advertising a specific design and this design is on sale. It's brand new.
Yes.
It's a new shirt. Get it while they're hot. Get it while they last. Limited offer. On sale now. Clearance. Whatever they might be.
What reason are you going to give somebody to do it now?
Yeah.
It's brand new. You can be one of the first. It's different than before. It's on sale. It's 2-for-1. It's now perfect for you for some reason. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever it is.
Yeah. Season. You know, this is seasonal as well, whether it's holidays or temperature. So, okay, great. So now that you've kind of... you've gone through this, you've gone through these, The question you ask is, does everything you've done align with the brand?
Man, that is really important because I've done I've mapped out like an email and a landing page, you know, for some of our products here. I think it was the CAMS machine.
Okay. Yeah.
And when I looked back at it, I'm just like, that really isn't who we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that really doesn't match the Cold Essie brand. Because I don't even remember what it was, but I had to start over.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go through this whole process of designing a campaign, and then in the end, you do a gut check. Because the worst thing that you can do is put something out there that doesn't match you or your business.
Yeah, and also doesn't match the audience. You know,
yeah.
So like both of these things line up.
That's a good point.
So if you're trying to expand out to get that like sports apparel, right?
Yes.
But you've been making yoga stuff for the past 3 years and you've got this yoga brand and you figure you put your logo, your colors, you got a little design, you've got it all set and you stick that up by the people going to play hockey. It's a different audience of people. So you're trying to mix your yoga brand with the I make hockey stuff brand.
They don't sell chai at the hockey rink.
No, but they have beer and wings.
Right.
And that's what they advertise when you walk into the hockey rink.
So like think about if you walked into a Walmart and they had this really rare high-end produce for like $50 a pound.
Yeah.
It'd just be weird.
Yeah.
It would just be jarring. You know, like you'd immediately be able to tell that it didn't belong there. Belongs at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
You know, so it's the same kind of thing. That's what you're looking for is, you know, if like you put, if you have an edgy or rebellious brand, if you have a yoga style brand, if you're the cheer mom, you know, if that's your brand, if these are the words that you're associated with, make sure that what you end up with after the process still matches.
Yes. And if you're trying to do something that's outside of your normal brand, then you make an adjustment to either you come up with a secondary brand.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of how it is. Like the Pro Spangle equipment, the branding on that is much different than the DTG branding because the DTG is much more technical minded, a little more edgy, very, very like modern in the looks.
Yep.
And Pro Spangle is very bling and you know, cheer wear and spirit wear
in
and all
general,
that.
Different people buy them.
Yeah, in general, different people buy
them. And they have different purposes and different goals, and, mm-hmm. and so Cold Essie has to brand each one.
Yeah.
So the Cold Essie brand is you know, kind of like sits over everything, but you're right. Pro Spangle brand talks to these people. DTG brand talks to these people.
Yeah. So you could do... you could do like, you know, Yoga Fit is your one brand.
Yes.
And then you really want to get into this hockey league because you know there's a bit. And you come out, you know, with like Sports Edge is your second. And now your business can be, you know, Yoga Fit and Sports Edge.
Yeah.
And you know where I've seen something similar to that happen? Or if you go to the mall, there's that store Express. You're familiar?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So Express was a ladies' store, a ladies' apparel store many years ago, and then they brought in men's apparel, and it was not doing well, even though the apparel quality was really good, because it was a feminine brand. Guys weren't going in there to buy the apparel. So they extracted the brand out, made Express Men a little edgier, a little more masculine, came with a second store. And now you go to the mall, there's Express and Express Men.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's they're still there.
Yeah.
You know, 10 or 15 years ago, whenever that started, you still see these Express stores
around. But I can't shop there because all they sell is skinny jeans. okay, so I like that. Now, the other thing that you could do, and I'm just going to say this for fun, is you could make fun of yourself going into these other markets.
Okay, yeah.
So in other words, if you are the... If you have the yoga brand and you want to go into ice hockey, then you could just say, I know this is dumb, but I make the best ice hockey fan wear that you have ever seen.
Yeah, what's the yoga girl doing in the ice hockey rink? Go here to find out.
Why is she got, you know, why is she doing yoga with a hockey
stick? Yeah, yeah.
This is a good brand.
Yeah,
we could get somewhere.
All right, somebody take it right now before Mark Stevenson buys the URL.
I will. Yogahockey.com.
A little bit on locations. A lot of this stuff is kind of crosses over, but if you're going to sell, when you're talking about your brand and where you're putting it and where you're advertising it, make sure it all matches up. Mm-hmm. If you're selling skater t-shirts was the note that I made. Yep. Facebook's probably a cool idea. You can probably get a lot of people into skating.
Yeah.
And I would say actually skater like skateboard.
Yes.
Okay. And I know we just talked about ice stuff. Make skateboarding style skater gear
right away,
skater gear, Facebook might be a cool place. You can find a lot of those people.
Sure.
Is the church bulletin board the right place? I mean, there might be a couple kids.
Depends on your church, but probably not.
Yeah, probably not. So either way, and the same thing might be if you're advertising specifically for that church apparel.
Yeah.
Why are you going to go to Facebook and reach all these people? Go right to the bulletin board where all the people who go there are going to buy it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, all right. So now the last one, we talked about the goal, we need to finalize this again. What's your goal with sales, revenue, number of new customers? The question is, if I earn this much money, I'll do this marketing campaign again, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So I need to earn $1,000 or I'm not going to do this again.
Yeah. And it's me being strictly math about this.
Yeah.
You know, if I can spend, depending on how much effort, it's the intersection is spend, effort, and profits.
Yeah.
So if I can spend $1,000 and make $100 for no effort, then I will spend as many $1,000 as I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I have an unlimited amount of money. Right? But if I spend $1,000 and I don't make any money, it doesn't matter that there's no effort.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I can make $100, but I have to really work my butt off for weeks to get that $100, it's a no.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got to kind of look at that like, you know, is this the best use of your money and your time? And the only way that you can do that is if you have your goal mapped out and you can say for certain what's happening.
Yeah.
Or what happened when you're
doing that. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. And also, these are when you go back to some of the old podcasts and you consider like customer lifetime value.
Yes.
And things like that. So maybe you're doing something where you get the hockey, you know, family to buy some fan gear for you.
Yep.
But you know from having run the yoga business that if you get somebody to come one time, they're going to wear those clothes out. And they're going to come back to you. So, you know, typically my average customer is buying at least 5 pieces of apparel.
Yeah.
So if I could do a campaign and maybe I'm just breaking even on the first shirt they buy, but they're probably going to buy 5 more times 100 people, it's a bunch of money.
You're okay.
So the math can get tricky, but you just want to really pay attention to it. This is where there's not a specific formula for it. You just have to really think about it.
Or... there is a specific formula.
Yeah.
So, you know, once you get to a certain level, you will know, like Mark Vila knows, all of you out there, what your lifetime value is. If you're a Coleman & Company customer, believe me, we know exactly, you know, we've got a great estimate of it. So we can say, you know, okay, you know, as long as you become one of us, you know, we know that it's going to be worth it for us in the long run. And you just need to be able to do the same thing.
Yeah. No, it's important to pay attention to that stuff. So, Tate, now that we got it,
Yeah.
We know what's good. We have a goal. It's all lined up. We need to set it up. So this is kind of where you actually, this is where you're stepping
into
Facebook.
This is the work.
This is going into Facebook a little bit.
I mean, honestly, I would still, I'd do a flow chart on a piece of paper.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd say, okay, well, here's where they're going to start. They're going to see my ad. And then I'm going to meet them in person. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to call them up afterwards. And then I'm, so, you know, whatever that process is, you know that you've got a campaign kind of laid out. Now you need to look at this, you know, you set it up and make sure that everything jives and that you know where everything's going.
Okay, so the flow could be step one is you're designing some art that you're going to print out. You're going to take those prints and you're going to bring them to the football game. You've got permission to put them in a bunch of different places. You put them there, and then the call to action you put is to call tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday you're going to measure how many. You know, if there's a Friday night football game, Saturday, you're going to measure how many calls you got and how many sales you made. And then that's kind of the end of your flow right there.
Yeah, and here's the important part is if that's your flow, you have to make sure somebody's there to answer the phones on Saturday.
So that's why the flow is important.
That's you know? I mean, I've got a good example of that. Do you want to hear it?
No.
Okay.
No, I do. Please.
So we don't see that many good advertisements because there's not that many out there.
Uh-huh.
So what I did see was in my Facebook feed, there was a picture of an ugly air conditioner.
Okay.
Really terrible. Mm-hmm. And the ad was from a local AC and plumbing company they were just actually getting into the AC business. They said, hey, you can win a free air conditioner this year. Send us your picture. Send us a picture of your air conditioner. We'll pick the ugliest one. We'll give you a free one.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so it was great. Really captivating picture. Maybe I'm in the market for an air conditioner. I take a picture of that. I do all this effort. I upload it. They take me to a nice, you know, page where I can do all that stuff. There's a nice thank you page. It's great. Give them my name, my phone number. It was 2 weeks ago. I haven't heard anything since.
Yeah.
Right? So they had that top part of the flow going. Mm-hmm. They did all this work, but they forgot to have somebody working on Saturday to answer the phone.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Is that's why you got to map this stuff out.
And it's also if you're going to send somebody to an area of your website, you want to make sure, obviously, that page is working correctly, it's functioning correctly, it does everything you want. All of these things are done. It's just part of the flow. These are all the simple things that are mistakes get made all the time in marketing, where they send somebody to a link, but they don't make the page, and it's a 404 error. So these are all things that can happen. So you want to make sure, or I've gotten plenty of times the email comes through and it's a dead link. They forgot to actually put a link in the email.
Yeah.
So click here, it goes nowhere.
To an old page or something like that. Those are usually my campaigns.
The flow is to make sure you've mapped it out so you can check off each box of every step and you know how it's going to work and you're prepared for that.
And you've got kind of the steps right here, right?
Yeah.
You've got the creative.
Well, creative. So do you need art? So this is where I know how to do this. You open up Microsoft Word, and you go to the clip art section.
Stop it.
Do you need art? Are you an artist? Do you need to hire an artist? Is the art going to be for a printed sign? Make sure if you're doing it, it's the art is designed for a printed sign. So it looks good when it's nice and large. Do you need pictures? Do you need video? Do you know how to do those things yourself?
Yeah, and will it match your brand?
And will it match your brand? So go through all that, understand it all. If you're going to do a print ad, you're going to need to know what are the specs for the print ad before you make your art.
Yes.
And you're surprised. I know people who do online advertising and print advertising, and they say most of the time the art they get is not compatible or good for it. And then they end up charging a fee for fixing it, or you miss your deadline and you don't get the ad printed.
I mean, you guys, our customers that are listening that are in the t-shirt business, I mean, you know this.
Yeah.
Because people say, oh, I need t-shirts for my company as part of the event. And they send you like a JPEG off their website of their logo that's like 1 inch by 3 inches.
Yeah, the smallest one, the favicon.
And then they're upset because you have to charge them an art fee.
Yeah.
So don't be that.
Don't be that person. So you've got the next step, you've got your creative, then what's your call to action? So what do you want your prospect to do?
Yeah, so that's really important.
Visit the website, call, come to the event.
Visit.
Yeah, and if it, of course, if it's branding, just recognize you.
Yeah.
You know, what's the offer? What's the specific offer? This is stage two, where you're literally writing it down and setting it up. In stage one, your idea, all right, the offer is gonna might not be specific in stage one. It just might, I wanna do like a BOGO type of a thing.
Right.
In step two, it's actually what is the BOGO and how are you wording it?
Yeah, and that's really important, the how are you wording
yeah.
it? Because if they're going to click a button, especially if they're gonna click a button, there's a lot that goes into that.
Yeah.
You know, like how are you gonna motivate somebody to click that button? You know, it's not just learn more, buy here. You know, there's a lot of options.
Yeah.
The call to action is important.
And then the last one we put here is making it shareable.
I like that.
Yeah, I think that's great. So
it usually gets left off the list.
Yeah, and that's that is just sometimes it might be, there's lots of cool things you could do. If it's print, you could have two coupons.
Yep.
Right? So they can give one to somebody. If it's an email, you could put a message on the bottom. And don't forget to forward this to other fans who might not be on our email list.
Yeah.
If it's social, obviously that's easy to make it shareable.
I got a good one for the email.
Okay.
You don't go to those games alone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Forward this to who sits next to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's great.
See?
Yeah, that, and those are the actual words you want to use.
Yeah.
Rewind, hit the rewind 30-second button right there.
There you
yeah.
go.
So, yeah, make it shareable, and whether it's website, social, email, sign up, whatever it is. So next is the actual creation. Mm-hmm. So we're sketching it out. We're drawing it. You're actually designing it piece by piece to making sure it's ready to go.
Yeah, I've got a whiteboard in my office mm-hmm. that is always full of boxes and arrows.
Yeah,
and things written in it that I cannot read.
Yeah, and during this stage, this is where you start getting technical.
Yeah.
So you should know what your brand colors are, and what fonts that you're willing to use in your brand.
Right.
And all of these things, because they're going to be fairly technical. If you're going to send it out to get designed. Like say if you're going to get something an online ad designed out
yeah.
and you're going to send it to a designer, you're going to want to include in that email that you write that person in your order form, here's my logo, here are the colors that I use,
yes.
here are the fonts that I prefer to use. These are all part of like your brand packaging.
Yeah, be your ideal customer.
Yeah.
So especially if you make custom t-shirts, then what? These are the things that you want people to provide you when you're doing something.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're having an ad created for you, graphics created, then you want to make sure that that's true too. You know, everything that you want done, make sure that you do for whoever you're
yeah,
hiring.
Yeah, because someone's going to come to you and say, I want some shirts. I just want it to say, play hockey. That's
right.
what I want you to write on it. And then yeah. you're... Well,
you do it in old English.
Well, yeah, yeah. What color? What kind of font? Do you want a block font?
Yeah.
You know, different things like that. So get it all together. Write it out. Now this is you're exactly done. By the
yeah.
end of this stage, what you have is the final product that you are going to put online, print, share.
Yeah.
And that's the entire, that's all. You're, this stage isn't done until every step is done.
Right. So you've got, that means you've got the process written out.
Yeah.
And that means that you've arranged for somebody to be there on Saturday to take the phone call.
Yep.
Right. So, and you've got your, you're ready for your graphics. You've got your messaging in place. You've got your CTA, you know, what
your website's done. If you have a coupon code for your website, it's programmed and tested that it works.
Yep.
Everything is done by the end of this stage. Also, free of typos, free of poor grammar, free of...
Unless it's intentional.
Unless it's intentional, yeah. Free of things that don't align with your brand. Reread it. This is also a great time to sleep on it.
Oh,
you know, sleep on it, look at it
yeah,
later.
That's a good one.
Also, this is something I go back and forth with. You own this business. It's your responsibility on how this message looks.
Right.
Everybody that you know is a marketer. Everybody thinks that they're better at marketing than you.
Yeah.
So you're going to create something and send it to somebody and share it with somebody. And some people are going to say, cool. Love it.
Yeah.
And then other people are going to say, I wouldn't use that word. So it's fine to get that feedback. If 10 people tell you, I wouldn't use that word, all right, there's a pattern developing.
Yeah, if there's someone like I know someone.
Yeah, okay. Me?
No.
Okay.
Whatever I show to this person,
yeah,
their first instinct is to pick out what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
So that can be really useful. You just have to be prepared for that. Yeah. And that's what you're looking for.
And then also be prepared for this. Here's two things. What you're going to deal with, how to get past it.
Okay.
So I want to share this. I want to share this with you.
Okay.
And I wanted to get your feedback. I've got an opinion on it. I want to hear your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to share this with a bunch of other people. And then I'm going to kind of do it democratic based on the vote.
Okay.
About how people say, which one do you like better? Or what do you think about it? And you share it, I don't like that at all. And you do like it.
Okay.
And, you know, you talk to a couple other people and they like it. And then this, when you print it, you get to tell your wife or husband or you know, because sometimes it's going to be somebody close you show it to that says they don't like it. I showed it to like 8 people. You got outvoted.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I'm running with this one. So even if you're not doing that, I think it's okay to...
Yeah.
You know, but I still think you should ask 5 people, and if 5 people don't like it, maybe switch it up.
Or you could tilt it and say, you know what, 95 of the 100 people that I showed this to loved it. Why don't you take a look?
Yeah.
That's the way to preface that. I don't want to tip the scales.
I think it's great to get some honest feedback from people, but it's a dangerous game to play because people are going to stick things in your head, and if you've done everything in the front end, which they have not, and you come up with an ad, it's probably, there's a good shot that it's good.
Right.
There's a good shot at that.
But
don't get torn down too much if you ask one person.
Yeah, but I got to do a little PSA here.
Sure, yeah.
So I'm a member of a bunch of different marketing groups,
mm-hmm.
a lot of entrepreneurs in different areas. And this one woman came on and said she's got this website and this product and these classes and things like that, and she, you know, she had something else that she wanted to do. She already had like a couple of thousand people on her email list,
mm-hmm.
several thousand people in her Facebook group, and she's got like a great product. She's going to launch a course, and she shares that with her husband,
mm-hmm.
who just runs her into the dirt.
Yeah,
like just like, you don't make hundreds of thousands of dollars. Why would people listen to you? You know, I mean, you're just this and you're just that, and like nobody's ever going to buy that. And she was already a pro.
Yeah.
Do not let people run you down like that.
Yeah.
I mean, especially like if you're just getting in this business, I don't care if it's your parents or your spouse or whoever it is. If you've got somebody like that and you're in this process of doing an ad, don't show it.
Oh, don't show them.
Don't show it to other people. Don't like. You know, don't hit the weak spot and like, oh, what are you working on? Just blow them off.
Yeah.
You know, don't involve them because, you know, you are either a professional or once you spend this money, you will be a professional.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're trying to make some money with this. You need to make sure that your opinion is valued as well.
And if you have somebody who yeses everything,
like also
your, if you go to your mom and I love it. I love it, honey. I love it.
I used to do that all the time.
I
have a very fragile ego. So
yeah, I still send stuff to the people that will say they're going to love it, and I know they will. Because I still want to hear that.
Right.
But then I also try to get it to
the
people.
And then he sends it to me.
Yeah, then I get it to the... You want honest feedback is really the optimal thing. If you have 3 people that are going to honestly give you feedback, I don't like that color, but I love this ad.
Yeah.
You know, type of thing.
That's great.
Then that's good. And you don't have to take their advice, but it's you learn. The more you do it, the better you get at it, I think. And also... You know, you're going to do it and everyone's going to like it, and then it might not work.
Yep.
So that's okay too.
So that kind of works us into the next section, mm-hmm. which is execute and test.
Yep.
So I don't know if you knew this, but most of good marketing now is testing.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. like I don't decide anything. I let Facebook and Google decide.
Yeah.
You know, I've had things that I love that I put in Google Ads and it's awesome and I work for hours on it. And in about 3 days, it's obvious that nobody else agrees. You know, so that doesn't matter. You've got to just move on.
Yeah.
You know?
I redid a video that I didn't think, I didn't love it. You know, but I was just like, oh, there's one lady standing by an embroidery machine for 30 seconds. Why does anybody care to look at that?
Yeah.
So I just cut her out.
Right.
And then ran both ads. and the one with the lady standing by an embroidery machine doing nothing for 30 seconds, people watched that whole video.
Yeah.
And the one that went right into making the hat, people were skipping out on it. So for whatever reason, people liked seeing the machine and the brand and the friendly face, and maybe that 10 seconds or whatever it was, they got to digest what they were about to see. So you can't predict that stuff.
So the moral of that story is do everything we just said.
Yeah.
Get other people's opinions. Make sure it's good. Make your best decision. But then if the marketplace is telling you that everyone that you've ever met is wrong, they're wrong. That's just the way it works.
Yeah, so what I put here is, give it a shot. You know, it's great if you have it just blow out.
Yeah.
Like you want to sell those 24 jackets, and 24 are sold like the night that you start passing out those flyers at the yoga studio. Great. Maybe you sell 19.
Right.
You almost sold all of them.
Yeah.
You know, like you missed out
it's
on
good.
Five,
Still,
but that's
it's pretty, good.
That's a good move. What could you do better?
Yeah.
Is it, do you need to change the message a little bit, change the offer? Maybe look at all the other factors that are involved.
The audience.
Yeah. It's a holiday weekend. Not as many people were at the event. You know, there's a lot of things to consider. So look for those wins that are heading in the right direction.
Yep.
You advertised it on Facebook, you had 200 you wanted to sell, you sold 125. Like, that's good. How do you get to the 200? You tweak your ad, you change your image, you change the words you're using, you change the offer, maybe you raise the price and add a coupon.
Yeah, it is nutty what works.
Yeah.
It really is nutty. We've had things years ago that when we would first come out with a supply item, you know, you run a test on two different items, and the more expensive one sells a lot more.
Yeah.
People just assume that it's a better product because you're charging more. So don't think that just because if you have a jacket for $50 that you tried and you didn't sell that many, that you have to try it for $30. Try it for $60.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Try it for more, too.
Yeah, because the what's great about that is, especially in apparel, when you raise the price on apparel and any item, when it's a more expensive item, you can afford to put more detail and quality into it, too.
Yes.
So maybe you can offer that, you know, if it washes off guarantee, or you can offer, you know, you can offer, like, everyone's going to get initials somewhere put on it. You get to offer these extra things. So it's great. So now that... we're talking about, you're an execute, part of the executing is the testing, you're looking for patterns of wins. If it's a complete failure, you know it's a complete failure, you want to try something different.
Yeah.
So the next one, last step, is revamp or scale up.
Right.
And I think those are the only two things you do. It's never give up.
Right.
Give up is not the option.
That's a good point. Now, give up may be that you no longer really push that item.
Yeah, sure.
Right? But revamp could be that you add something to that item.
Yeah, or maybe just revamp is, I'm not going to do the jackets. They don't work. I'm going to go for hoodies, or I'm going to go for pants, or I'm going to go for bags.
Yeah.
So revamping is sometimes just changing what you're offering. Your marketing landed somewhere between terrible failure or below your goal. You know, that's where you're revamping.
Yeah.
It's either just nothing happened, it was terrible, or you missed your goal. So your goal was to sell 24 jackets, you sold 19. Between failure, zero jackets, and 19 jackets is the same plan, revamp.
Yeah.
What can you do differently? Do you need to advertise in a different place? Do you need to have a different offer?
I was just making that look. So is it a different product? Is it a different advertisement?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a different audience that you send it to? Is it a different price?
Mm-hmm.
Is the copy different? Basically, what you're going to do is tweak different parts of the process that we just went through.
Yeah, the next time you hand out that flyer after the event, then it's have a different headline to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Maybe the first...
Different color paper.
Yeah, different color paper. Maybe the first one was focusing on style and looking good when you yoga. And then maybe you realize that not too many people cared about looking good.
Yeah.
You know, you see people with hair messy and sweaty.
Yeah.
Maybe they more care about comfort. So be comfortable when you leave the studio, get a hoodie.
Yeah.
You know, and they can consider that.
That's a
you
nice
know.
Pitch. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, thanks.
No problem.
I just thought of it.
Yeah.
All right. So the step two, the other one is scale up, and that's if you have success. So a couple things with here. If if you're successful, if you sell all 24 hoodies, don't mess with that campaign.
Right.
Your flyer worked. Yeah. Your brochure worked. Your message worked. It worked exactly how you wanted. Don't try to go in there and make it better. It's just, it already worked. Yeah. Don't mess with it. Scale it up. Right. Find another studio to go to. Buy more of them. Whatever it might be.
So basically, you're going to do more of what you did to be successful.
Yeah, more of what you did.
So you're going to do it in more places. You're going to do it more times.
Or spend more money.
Spend more money on it. You know, if it's a Facebook ad, you know, what we normally do is if we get an ad that works, we spend a little bit more money on it all the time until it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what you want to do. So if what you're doing is you do the menu at the restaurant, you know, and you're like, oh my gosh.
First of all, if that works, call me. Because I'm going to watch it prove it.
But whatever it is, if it works, you do more of it. So you do it at more places. You buy larger ads. You know, whatever it might be. So we talked about the penny saver thing.
Yeah.
If you put it in there and all of a sudden, like, you're getting small businesses calling you up to make t-shirts. Oh my. I'm doing it in this zip code.
Yeah.
Let me do it in this zip code too.
I just thought of a scenario where the menu thing might be very effective.
All right. Let's do it.
You're running your t-shirt shop.
Okay.
And your specialty is in stain resistant clothing. And you're right next to an outdoor barbecue.
A barbecue place.
And you say, look at the barbecue sauce on your shirt right now. Come get it replaced for $15.
Yeah. That's not too bad. I got a better one.
Okay, probably not, but go ahead. I'll let you guys decide.
You're in the same scenario, barbecue place, and you're in the same plaza as them. You know, a really full question mark. Walk it off. Come down the road and check out our cool t-shirts. And you do a little drawing of the little pig with the X on its eyes and an arrow, and then you show the three doors down and then the t-shirt shop with a smiley face.
Well,
and then you show people, after you go eat, just walk and come see our shop.
So I will say that your visuals were better.
Yeah, okay.
And the only way that we could combine the two is if you specify XXXXXL shirts available.
Yeah, okay.
I think that would work. All right, that's enough of that.
Yeah, we did everything.
We covered everything. You know,
it's a long one, I think.
We're gonna put everything in the show notes because you're gonna need them. You're gonna want to listen to this again.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, if you're gonna do your first marketing campaign or your first actual marketing campaign, not just an ad that you decided to run at the last minute, then go through some of these steps. I think it's really valuable. And I think you'll have a better business because of it if you do this.
What's the email address for the podcast?
Host at CASpodcast.com.
Okay, so host@CASpodcast.com. If you have something that you're working on, if you want to send us your plan, your images, your art, whatever it might be, we're not going to just say it looks bad or we're not going to just say it looks good. We're going to give you our honest opinion if this is something we would run and if we would change anything. And you should do that too. I mean, just getting a couple extra opinions is nice.
Yeah, and that was all absolutely true, except I will tell you if it looks bad.
We will tell you, but it might not be bad. It might not be.
All right, guys, thanks very much for listening. This has been Mark Stevenson from Cold Essie.
And Mark Vila from Coleman & Company.
You guys have a great business.